Well, good morning and welcome. For those of you who are with us for the first time, my name is Chris, and I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And as the video introduced, right now we are in the midst of a conversation called Circles. And we're looking at coming to our Father and asking Him, okay, what does healthy community look like? And for those of you who don't know, here at Hoboken Grace, we believe that because of Jesus Christ, God has given us the opportunity to be adopted into His family, where He literally comes to us and brings to us the relationship of a father and a child, where we can come to Him as Father and ask Him, okay, God, how do I handle this? How do I work through this? And right now what we're doing as we come into this conversation Circles is that we're coming to Him with a question of community and this question of connectedness and healthy community, because as the video said, although we live in a world where there's so many opportunities to connect, although we live in a world where it seems that we're more connected than ever, for many of us at the end of the day, what we do experience is loneliness. At the end of the day, when everything stops and we find ourselves laying in bed, what we experience, rather than experiencing being loved and connected in community, what we experience, unfortunately, is loneliness. And we talked about last week as we began this series how it's connected to our ability and our desire to hide, and how we're constantly hiding. And from the very beginning, we've been hiding. But then we establish this dream that we see Jesus talk about in His prayer to the Father. And there's not a lot of times in the Scriptures where we get to see Jesus actually talking to His Father. And we see Him going away to pray and things like that, but there aren't often times where we actually get to see His prayer. But in John chapter 17, we get to hear Him speaking to His Father. And in the midst of that, in verse 22, it says this. It says, I've given them the glory You gave Me so that they may be one as We are one. He's talking about community and connectedness and this idea of love in a much greater sense than what we usually settle for. He's talking about the connection between the Father and the Son and the Spirit, this connection where they're so connected and they love each other so well that they're almost indistinguishable. He says, listen, I want for them what we have. I want for them to know that. But unfortunately, for most of us, we live our lives knowing about all sorts of people, but being known by and knowing no one. And so at the end of the day, although we may know about thousands of people, and although thousands of people may know about us, we're still left with that loneliness. And so last week we looked at these words of Christ, and we're coming to our dad and we're coming to our Father and saying, okay, what does that look like? Teach us how to do that. And we saw in Philippians as Paul's writing to the church, that Paul, as he's talking to them about their community and their connection to one another, he points them to the example of Christ. And he's challenging them in their connection and their love for one another, their community, and how they're known by one another. And as he's challenging them in that, he points them to the example of Christ. And last week we talked about how in the example of Christ, we see the incredible priority that God puts on this idea of being known and loved, and how He gives up everything that was rightfully His, all the glory and the honor, in order to know and be known by you, to establish this relationship with you and I, and everything He does to prioritize that, it challenges us on whether or not we really value community and how valuable community should be and connection should be in our lives. But then as we build on that today, I think that there's more in the example of Christ than just priority. I think there's more that Paul wants for us to be able to see in the example of Christ than just priority as it pertains to this idea of truly being known and loved. This thing that he, even as we've talked through it, even as we talked through last week, some of you are sitting here and you came back this week, but you're like, man, this conversation makes me a little uncomfortable. It's a little scary. I don't know if I really do want to be known, but you see Jesus putting the priority on it, and there still seems to be something inside of you that craves it. And I think as we come back together today, I think that that we need to go back to this passage. We need to go back to this passage to be able to, again, look at the example of Christ. Because in the example of Christ, I think that we see more than just priority, but we see also him demonstrating to us what's necessary to have truly healthy community, this type of community where you can be both known, completely known, and then also loved, and where we can love each other and connect with one another in this way. And so I want to take us back to that, because in the example of Christ, you see someone who doesn't think that community is just going to happen. And I think some of us, we look at community that way. We look at connection that way. We think that community and connection is something that we just find. And so we just have to find the right people, and we just have to go to the right places. And if we go to the right places and we're around the right people, then we're just going to find it. We talked about that as it pertains to dinner groups, that you can't just walk into a dinner group and expect that you're going to find community. But I think some of us think that. We think, you know, community is just something that I have to find, so I have to be at the right place at the right time. I have to join the right sports league, or I have to join this. And so we're constantly just trying to find it, and you're frustrated because you're thinking to yourself, I'm just surrounded by stupid people. And if I wasn't surrounded by stupid people, I could probably have good community. But we look at it as something that is found, but then Jesus comes along, and Jesus, rather than thinking that community is something that's going to naturally happen, he understands the effect of the fall, the effect of selfishness and what it does to us, and what it impacts in our lives, this reality that naturally we're not going to open up to one another, but naturally we're going to hide from one another. That naturally we're going to put up the facades, that naturally we're going to keep people at a distance and control our connection. He understands that. He doesn't expect for it to naturally happen. And so rather than God waiting for connection and community to just happen, or for it to just be found, he actually does something about it. And I think he demonstrates for us, when you look at this passage in Philippians chapter 2 and what Paul's pointing us to his example, I think he demonstrates for us the priority of community, but I think he also demonstrates for us the reality that, listen, community is not found. Community is created. And as Jesus is pursuing a relationship with you and me, he doesn't just wait for it to happen. He actively engages it. Let me just take you back to the passage in Philippians chapter 2. Again, remember, this is a passage about community. At the beginning of Philippians chapter 2, Paul is challenging them with their connection to one another, and challenging them with this dream that Jesus had laid out, that they would be connected and unified. And as he's challenging them with that, he points them to the example of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, 6 through 8, it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. We talked about the priority, right? And he says, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and died a criminal's death on a cross. Rather than just waiting for it to happen, God decides, no, I'm going to create community. I'm going to actively engage it. And as he actively engages it, I think that there's three things that you see that are crucial to creating community in the example of Christ. Three things that are crucial. If we're going to, as we're on this journey, if we're going to pursue that dream that we would be known and that we would know and that we would create community where you could be known and loved, I think there's three things that we see in the example of Christ, not just the priority that he put on it, but three things that we see in his example that have to be part of our journey as well. And the first one is something that you wouldn't expect from God. But then again, God is constantly doing things that we don't expect. The first one is something that we wouldn't expect from him, but is crucial to creating community. And really was one of the first steps in him creating community. And that is this. He risks. He risks. You see, he could have held on to all the glory, and he could have just ruled and reigned and all of that. But rather than taking that position, rather than coming to us that way, it says that he humbles himself. And as you read through the rest of the passage, you see that he becomes a servant, which is just crazy. And he does something that none of us expect for God to do. He risks something that we do not risk. And we try as hard as we can not to risk. He risks being rejected. He risks. He decides, you know what, I'm going to pursue them. I'm going to create community. This beautiful family that God invites us to be a part of. It didn't just happen. It's because Jesus Christ and God sent his Son to create community. And it begins with an unbelievable risk. Listen to what it says in John chapter 1, verse 10. It says, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. And he risks something that all of us are terrified of. Rejection. From the beginning of Hoboken Grace, there's something that we've done here inside of our city as a church family. It's something called simple service, where we just find little ways to be able to serve people, and we'll show up different places, and we'll have breakfast bars at the bus stops or the PATH trains or the ferries, or maybe cold water on an afternoon when it's hot out. I think the best simple service that we ever did was the day that the subway or the day that the PATH train opened after Sandy. We went down and just loaded up Metro cards and just gave people free rides. That was amazing, and people were like screaming with joy, mainly because the PATH was open, but then they got a free ride too, but it's just a lot of fun. But it's interesting, because as you're out there, and one of the things that I have to prepare people with as they go out there, because you think, listen, we're giving away this free stuff, people are obviously going to take it, and so I have to prepare them ahead of time that, listen, most everybody's going to say no. They want it, but you need to understand they're going to say no. And you need to just be prepared for the fact that you're going to experience an unbelievable level of rejection. Don't take it personally. You just have to understand that where we live, and the reality is that although they might really love a breakfast bar, they're going to say no to you, because the next 18 people who offer them something on the way to work, they're going to offer them really bad things. Right? And so it's just kind of built into us to say no. It's always funny when you see the person who's walking by and you can tell they're hungry because they're eyeing that breakfast bar, but they're like, oh, I really want it, but I don't trust them. I really want it. And you can see it on their face. And sometimes I just kind of laugh, but I prepare them, and I love the opportunity to prepare them, because I get to point them to something that's really beautiful about Jesus. As I said, and listen, as you're out there, you need to understand, you're going to experience a lot of rejection. A lot of people are going to say no. But we're not out here to love just because we're going to be accepted or we're going to be successful. We're out here to love the way Jesus loved. And Jesus Christ went to the cross knowing that a huge number of people that he was giving his life for were going to say no. That a huge number of the people that he was pursuing, they were going to look at him and say, you know what? No thanks. No thanks. But he risks rejection. I think it's a huge example for us and what it means to create community, to be community creators in the lives of those around us. It's going to take risk. Not only do you see the example of taking risk, but then you also see the example of sacrifice. The passage talks about how he's going to the cross. In Hebrews, it reiterates. And obviously, the entire New Testament is filled with just picture after picture after picture of how Jesus sacrificed so that we could be known by him and he could be known by us.
In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated on the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. And whether it's Philippians 2 or Hebrews, the scriptures are pointing us to the sacrifice of Christ to create community. And this reality that if we're going to create community, it's going to require sacrifice. And the truth is, all of Jesus' life was a sacrifice. The fact that he had to hang out with those 12 guys was just an unbelievable sacrifice. Let's be honest. I mean, it would be a sacrifice for you or I to hang out with those 12 guys, but then imagine that you're the Son of God and you have to hang out with those 12 guys and everything that he has to endure and all their comments and everything. Like, it's just a constant sacrifice. And rather than just taking his glory and his honor and everything that he could have taken, he says, no, I'm going to risk and I'm going to sacrifice because I want and I value community and connection and being known and loved. See, risk, sacrifice. And then something that we talk about all the time here at Hoboken Grace is just how he's constantly investing. And the reality that creating community requires investment. That he's pursuing us and pouring into us. That he forgives us. It's just a constant investment where he's investing in our connection and relationship with him. Not only that, the scriptures also talk about the Holy Spirit as being God's investment in us, that he's given us his Spirit to be able to connect us to him, this investment. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I think in Philippians chapter 2, as Paul's talking to them about community, he's pointing them to the example of Christ, not just so that they can see the priority that he puts on being known and loved, but then also so that we can see inside of his example these three things that are so crucial to creating community, that you're going to have to risk, you're going to have to sacrifice, you're going to have to invest. And I know, as we talk through this, those are not three words that we naturally run towards. I know that you're not thinking here as you sit here today, man, I am just so excited that we're talking about sacrifice again because I love sacrifice. It's just one of my favorite things to talk about. I love practicing it. No one's going to walk out of here and be like, you know, I'm just so excited to sacrifice this week. I understand that. Even when I talk about investment and risk, who no one runs to risk. But at the same time, I think that here's what we have to grab a hold of. All of it, again, is pointing us to the beauty. All of it is pointing us to just how incredibly beautiful community and connection is. This is why Paul, earlier, if you jump back and look at the beginning of Philippians again, what does he start off with? As he's talking to them about community, he points first to their connection and community that they have with the Father. He says, listen, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, he's talking about their, he says, look, when you look at your relationship with Christ, the fact that you don't have to hide with him. When you look at your relationship with Christ, the fact that you're forgiven and that you can actually be completely known and loved at the same time. He says, if you have any encouragement from that, he says, if you understand the beauty of that at all, he says, then you have to understand. Then you have to understand that what we're pursuing with one another is beautiful. And it's worth it. It was worth it for Christ, and it's worth it for us. It's worth it. And I know, as we walk through this series, this is my biggest challenge. My biggest challenge in your life is convincing you that it's worth it because you don't think it is. I know it. Even as you sit here, you're all looking at me like, good luck. Good luck. I don't think it's worth it. And I understand. I understand. Because here's the sad part. Here's the sad thing about this, okay? The reason that we're so skeptical about whether or not it's worth it is that we have never even, for most of us, have never even come close to experiencing it. We don't even know if we've ever seen it. We live in a world that's so good at hiding. We live in a world where we spend so much of our lives hiding that we're not sure that we've even seen it, let alone experienced it. And so I know that my biggest challenge as we walk through this, is to convince you that it's worth it. But here's the thing. Don't listen to me about this. And I know you don't anyway, because I tell you to do things all the time and you don't do them. But you shouldn't listen. Jesus is the one who's teaching us this. Jesus is the one who's pointing us to this. Jesus is the one who's praying that this would be our reality. And so Paul, as he's writing them, he says, if you have any comfort, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, he's like, look at the beauty of what he's made possible between you and him. He says, allow that to motivate you and challenge you to do what you would not do, to risk and sacrifice and invest in being known and knowing. And this idea of community and love. He's calling us to this. To change our mindset about how valuable it is and what it is worth. And it challenges all of us. It challenges all of us on different levels. All of us are on this journey because none of us experience this well. None of us do. And so it challenges us. If we're going to experience this, if we're going to know this, if we're going to realize this, it challenges us to risk. And if we're going to create community, if you're going to experience a life where you are actually known and loved for who you actually are as opposed to the facade that you create, you're going to have to risk. And we're at different places with this. For some of you, it's risking even just being connected. But it's going to take risk. And sometimes, again, I think we think that community is just found. And so sometimes I'll talk to people and they'll walk into Hoboken Grace. And a lot of times people walk into Hoboken Grace because they're pursuing community. They want to be connected and they want to actually have relationships where they're known and loved. And so they walk in here and they're hoping that they're going to be able to find it here. I remember I had a conversation with someone a couple years ago and they had come into Hoboken Grace and they came to talk to me a little while after they had been here, been like a month or maybe 2 months, and they came to tell me that they were no longer going to attend Hoboken Grace, which is always an interesting conversation because it usually has to do with something that I said, and I have to apologize. But they came to me and they said, I just want to let you know I'm not going to be coming to Hoboken Grace anymore. And I said, well, what happened? They said, well, I was really hoping that I'd be able to get connected, but I haven't been able to get connected. I said, man, that's awful. I said, hey, what have you done? They're like, well, I'm here every Sunday. I said, and? They said, well, I come every Sunday. I said, well, did you get plugged into a dinner group? No, I never really wanted to be part of one of those groups. Did you go to a connection event? No. Okay, it's interesting. This is the first time I've seen you. I don't know that I've seen you come in or go out. They're like, well, yeah, I kind of come in late and leave early. It's like, so how did you think this was going to work? But sometimes we do that. We do that. We think it's just going to be found. And some of you are here, and And you're here, and you think to yourself every week as you walk out, I'm just not getting connected. Community's not found, guys. It's created. And that means you're going to have to risk. You're going to have to risk going to a connection event and meeting some new people in an environment where you're going to have to talk to people, because this is not an environment where you have to talk to people. Saying hello in the morning when Anthony asks you to greet the people around you is not actually talking to people. You're going to have to risk getting involved in a dinner group. You're going to have to risk, rather than just sitting next to someone, inviting someone out to coffee. And I know it's terrifying. Believe me, when we first came to Hoboken, the way that Hoboken Grace was planted is that I used to just basically, I had a couple of people that I knew in Hoboken, and then as I was hanging out with them, their friends would be talking about parties that they were throwing, and I would just invite myself. I would, all the time. They'd be like, oh yeah, we're getting together. I was like, oh really, can I come? And they had to think I was weird, because that's weird. And sometimes they said no, or sometimes they said, I don't, and then they would just go on to a different part of the conversation. It was just awkward. But I understand. It takes incredible risk. And for some of us, it's easier than others. For my wife, Anna, it's super easy. I don't know how she does it. It's just really easy. But it's going to take risk. And you're going to have to step out there to create community. But Jesus says it's worth it. And he demonstrated for us. For others of you, maybe you're connected, but you're not known. And that's one of the things we talked about last week, this goal that we have of having one person in our life who knows us. And the risk for you is going to be that you stop hiding. You just decide you're going to risk. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice. It means that you're going to have to say no to some things. One of the things that we've experienced in our dinner groups a lot is people who've walked into work and said, you know what, I realize that this may affect what happens this next year as far as my bonus is concerned, and this may affect what happens this next year as far as my promotions are concerned, but I need to be home on Tuesday nights by 8:30 because I have a dinner group that I'm a part of. And I'm going to have to sacrifice for that. I remember for one of the individuals who are on my staff, if you know him, you'll know which one I'm talking about. I remember sitting down at a restaurant not too far from here and talking to him about connection and being connected. And our church was very young at the time. And just being a consistent part of our family. And he said, well, that means I'm going to have to miss Penguins games. It sounds like a small sacrifice, but for him, it was kind of a life-changing sacrifice. But you're going to have to sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. And Jesus says, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's going to take investment, time, energy. It takes a lot of energy to be known and loved and to love those that you know. It takes a lot of energy. It means you're going to have to set aside time for this. I remember when Anna and I first got married, and Anna, my wife, should probably be teaching this series and not me, because she is actually very good at this. One of the few people I know who's really very good at this. And I remember early on in our marriage, she has this group of friends that really do know each other and they're known and loved. It's really amazing. And I remember, because of the fact that we were newly married, you know, you get newly married and you think that you just need to spend all of your time together. And so we started to do that, and her friendship started to deteriorate a little bit. And we sat down and we started to plan out And since the very beginning of our marriage, we have intentionally made time for those friends in her life. And sometimes it's cost us. And we've had to say no to other things in order for them to make sure that they have time, that they can be together, and that they continue to invest in each other. It's going to take investment. And we don't have time today to be able to work through all the particulars of what this looks like. If you're inside of a dinner group, you're going to have the opportunity to have that conversation this week and to work through, okay, what does this look like for you, where you are now? What does it look like for you to risk and for you to, what sacrifices do we need to be making as we walk through this, and how do we invest and continue building on this? We don't have time to work through all that, but I want to challenge you with the example of Christ and for us to begin to shift our mindset that this is actually worth it, that it's actually worth it. Last week, I told you our goal is that by the end of the series, you'd have one person in your life. I want you to take the next step in that this week. And that is that I want for you to identify three people that you're going to begin praying about. Okay, God, is this the person that you want me to pursue, that I'm going to be open and honest with, that you're going to, that you're going to finally stop hiding with? Because, again, as we talked about last week, this isn't something that you just go and do. There needs to be thought and prayer that goes into this, and we're starting to build this small so that it can catch inside of our community and inside of our family. For you to begin praying through, okay, well, those three people, who's going to be that person in my life that I start with, that I pursue this relationship where I'm going to open up, I'm going to stop hiding. If you're married, we told you it's spouse plus one. I want to challenge you with that we continue moving forward in this. I want to take you back to that passage in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 22. Listen to what it says. It says, I've given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. This prayer for that connection and community. But listen to how he continues. He says, I am in them, and they, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Listen to that last line. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. As he's praying for our connection, our community, our unity, he says, listen, you need to understand, this is far bigger than just you or me. This is far bigger than just what you're going to experience. This is far bigger than just the community that we're going to find. He says, no. You need to understand how valuable this is. That not only does Christ demonstrate it in what he walks away from, not only does he demonstrate it in the way that he's willing to risk and sacrifice and invest, but as he's talking to his Father, he's pointing out to us that, listen, this is going to be the thing that sets us apart. He said, this is going to be the thing. He said, this is what is going to allow the world to see just how great God's love is. Not just that we're connected to him, but the way in which we're connected to each other. And the reality that this is a community where you can actually be known and loved. Jesus says, this is going to be the thing that allows the world to see. And what does it allow the world to see? This just blows my mind. I mean, it just blows my mind, right? That you love them just like you loved me. That's Jesus talking. And he's saying that the world would see that you have loved them as much as you have loved me. That blows my mind. I can tell it's not blowing your mind as much as it blows my mind. But either way, and Jesus is pointing to us this incredible reality that not only is this community possible, not only is it possible to be known and loved, not only is it valuable, he says, but this is what changes the world. This is what people can't turn away from. It's not your words that are going to tell them how great my love is. It's not your services. is your community. It's your love for each other. It's worth it. Next week, we're going to not only look at the example of Jesus, but we're going to start looking at the examples of those in the New Testament and how they built this community and the circles in their lives. There are circles of relationships in their lives that are very important in building this community. And next week, we come to the point where we start to actually lay out, okay, what does this, how do we practically put this into place in our everyday lives? Make sure that you join us next week as we keep building on this. It is worth it. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray again that we would be able to see this the way that you see it. There are so many things in life that we value, and this, to, you know, this is not one of them. And you've built this craving inside of us for it, but yet still we continue to hide, we continue to play it safe, we continue to literally live our lives the opposite of the example that you set for us in Christ of stepping out and risking and sacrificing, investing in order to be able to establish a community where we are known and loved and we know and love the same thing that we experience in you. And Father, I just pray that you would change the way that we see it, the way that we view it, the priority that we give it. I pray that we would recognize that this is what you gave your life for, that we would experience this with you, but and then also that we'd be able to experience this with each other and share this with the world. I pray that our minds will be transformed, that we would see it differently as a result. As a result, we would become as your son was for us. Community creators. In Jesus' name.